Welcome to another edition of At the Buzzer, post-win edition once more, post-bye week edition. This is Jack Barsh, your co-host. Over there, refreshed after a long week off, is the other co-host of this podcast, Sam Atibier. Sam, how you doing?
I'm doing well. And then we also are bringing in a guest, Shaq Richardson, who he's cousins with Paul Richardson immediately. Mm-hmm. He played cornerback at Arizona, and then he was in the NFL for a bit. And so he's going to come in.
So as much as you might not like either of us, he is absolutely worth listening to.
So, yeah, he'll be around, like, I think the 15, 20-minute mark if we're on time.
Yep, that'll be later on in this podcast. How was your bye week, Sam? How was your 13 days off?
Well, I pretty much have to steer the ship that nobody else
You're the captain by default.
Yeah, so I mean, I've been running out of ideas for stories, and I've hit a wall. So hopefully, we'll have some content going on.
This is content.
This is content. Yes.
Well, you can always go back to your tried and true well of NBA players because training camp started up.
Oh yeah, I think I wrote a buff in the NBA. Oh yeah, Chauncey Billups signed to be the Clippers' new broadcaster.
See, there you go. I knew it wouldn't take you long. Thanks for asking, Sam. How my bye week was? Well, it was pretty good. I missed Buffs football on Saturday, but I didn't miss the stress that comes with it. Mm-hmm. Watched some games I had a vested interest in. And everything went out pretty well. I don't know. It was an okay Saturday. I wish it was a more interesting slate when there was no CU game to chain myself to my TV to watch.
Yeah, I was disappointed with how boring all the games were. But it was fun to watch Ohio State absolutely destroy.
Oh, man, that was great.
Yeah.
Man, that was great. I don't know if there's much more I could have asked for than a 48-0, really a mercy, or 48-7?
Yeah.
A mercy 48 points. They could have gotten up to 100 if they really tried.
Mm-hmm. That was amazing. Well, we also saw Arizona State knock off Cal.
And yes.
That's not necessarily fair to Cal because their quarterback got injured and they have absolutely no offense. So
no offense. Boy, Devin Monster could not throw a ball if he tried. And he did try. Yeah, Arizona State made our win look a little better. It looks like they're trending in the right direction.
They got back into the top 25.
That's the annoying part to me is, like, I get that, but, man, we beat them. And where are we?
Michigan State got back into the top 25 after losing to Arizona State and then beating, like, Purdue or whatever.
That is still – well, because Arizona State is now in the top 25. That's a quality loss. Ergo, Michigan State's in the top 25.
God, I hate the top 25. This has been my year of just, like, I am so done with this. I don't know why I care about this.
This year especially is just – it's in such sharp contrast how there's, like, five really good teams and then every other team is just – fighting for scraps.
Even then, there's like 15 or 20 teams that are like pretty solid, and then after that there's a massive drop off. There's usually like a pretty solid class.
I don't know if I agree with you.
If you go to the top 25,
that's where I'm at right now.
You'll see like UCF 17, Utah 18, or vice versa, whatever. That's like, those are solid.
No, I do think they're solid teams. I also think on any given Saturday, UCF say could lose to Pitt, who I would say is not a necessarily solid team.
Pitt does not count. Pitt is Pitt, and they do this to anybody.
Pitt exists Clemson. Outside the society of college football?
They do. This is why everyone loves them. They are the agent of chaos.
I don't know. SMU was in the top 25, despite playing almost nobody.
Well, they're in the bottom top of the top 25 is what I'm saying.
Right, and what I'm saying is the bottom of the top 25 and the top of the – next tier are this the same to me?
Okay, so I'm saying that 1 through 5 is good, is great, amazing, and then like 6 to 20 or so is like it's solid. Like, it's
I don't agree with that at all. I think you have a case for saying Oklahoma and like Auburn, Wisconsin, like that group. Maybe at the end of the top 10, that's a separate tier.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a hard time convincing me that, like, Boise State or UCF is that much better than, like, an App State or a Baylor, you know? I think
Appalachian State is being underrated, but whatever. Okay, I'm done with this. Let's move on.
Let's talk to the important stuff. CU won 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
In a historic victory in more ways than one. Let's count them off, Sam. Number one, first road ranked win in the last 30 tries.
Since 2002?
2002, the longest streak in the country, snapped by Mel Tucker and a very resilient group on the road. Number two, first win in Tempe ever for Colorado Buffaloes.
They won a bowl game there.
Fiesta Bowl, 1994, that's correct. Cordell Stewart ran wild on Lou Holtz's tail end, and boy, did Notre Dame suck that year. God, yep. Were they overrated. And finally, third, first win with a Colorado coach wearing shorts.
Oh, did Bill McCartney not wear shorts?
I don't think any CU – I was told through the internet that wearing shorts as a coach was uncouth. But Mel Tucker plays by his own rules.
Yeah, well, Mel Tucker can do whatever he wants. He can wear hot sauce socks, and I don't care.
In fact, I hope he does wear hot sauce socks with shorts so you can see him.
I'll wear mine on Saturday and match.
Let's see. I mean, let's get into the actual game. Like I said, historic win. Really, really, that was the linchpin of the season, I think. If you lose that, you're looking at 2-2 with not a lot of free wins left. In fact, I would say maybe one free win left.
Are we talking Stanford as the free win or UCLA? Yes.
Yeah, I'm taking Stanford as a free win.
Okay.
Stanford's
awful. Holy hell.
Without KJ Costello, yeah, they've got to shut it down. You're looking at 2-2 with one win remaining that I see on the schedule. But win that game with the injuries, with the adversity, on the road against a solid team, and suddenly I think your whole schedule opens up. Because now, outside of maybe Oregon and Utah, there's not a lot of scary teams, because we just played a similarly competent team on the road without our two best players for 90% of the game and won.
Yeah, the rest of the schedule, I think we have at Oregon. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so I'm going to miss something. At Oregon, which should be a loss. At Washington State, they're collapsing. I still think we'll lose, but
I agree.
Then there's USC at home.
Yep.
Which we have no idea, because USC is completely unpredictable.
And I believe there's a bye after that game. Let me check.
No, there's a bye before Washington.
Gotcha.
After USC, I think is like Stanford and UCLA.
I think it's USC at UCLA is the first week of November. So I think it's at UCLA and then Stanford.
Okay.
Let's find out.
And then after that, there's a bye week, and then there's Washington, and then there's at Utah. And honestly, even like Washington looks more winnable than it has in the past. And I don't want to say anything, but like the bye week between that game can really help.
Well, to me, this is what Mel Tucker's talking about with attitude of the team. And frankly, I think attitude of the fan base, is because we've seen what the team can do. Like, There's no opponent left that I think can give CU enough adversity where I feel hopeless. Maybe it's Oregon, or maybe it's at Utah. But I think
Utah will really depend on their health, because they have two injury-prone stars. But it's obviously way too early to tell for that. I'm more hopeless about Oregon, because we have a short week next week.
Well, wait, do we have a short? Oh, yeah, you're right. It's a Friday game on the road. Yeah, that game is giving everything possible to be a loss.
Yeah.
We're getting way ahead of ourselves. Let's go back to the Arizona State game.
Yes.
Because I want to talk more about this game, because it's amazing.
Let's do it briefly.
Number one, here's my first question for you. Is Steven Montez the best quarterback in the Pac-12 or the best quarterback in the country?
No, what are you talking about?
Did you watch him against Arizona State?
Yes, I also watched him against Air Force.
Right, but we're not talking about Air Force.
Oh, we're talking
week
about...
by week. Where Steven Montez is a week by week ranking quarterback.
Oh, okay.
He is wildly volatile in terms of quality, but man, when he is on, he is just lethal.
Yeah, he was absolutely phenomenal. Tony Brown was, I mean, I love Tony Brown.
So oh, much. What about that third touchdown? Everyone's talking about the second touchdown with the diving catch in the end zone, arms outstretched. Great catch. But what about the third touchdown with blanket coverage, just a little push off, and then just lets the ball come right into his back shoulder? Perfect catch. And that's the one I was like, wow, this guy, and that is a tool in the tool belt that not a lot of college receivers have.
Yeah, like, I don't know. He just has such professionalism, and he's been with Shiv for his entire career at Texas Tech before they both came to CU. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he's just clearly put in a ton of work, and he's been wanting to prove himself for so long, so I'm just really happy that he has.
Well, I actually just said this when I was talking to the Arizona writer for Q&A this week, but I think he asked how Tony Brown is stepping into Laviska Shenault's void. How is he replacing Laviska Shenault? And I said, I don't know if he is replaced. I don't think you can replace Laviska Shenault. I think what's happening is he's just being Tony Brown with more snaps. Like, this is what he could have done last year, but obviously Laviska was on the field. You're not going to take him off. KD is on the field. You're not going to take him off. And this is what he did this year. When Laviska was getting saved, I guess this is just what Tony Brown is. I don't think it's Tony Brown stepping up to fill. I felt like it was kind of disingenuous to say like, yeah, he's stepping up to be Laviska Shenault. I felt like being Tony Brown is more than enough, and this is just what happens when you are Tony Brown with more snaps.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything, and with Montez very clearly comfortable throwing to him. This would be huge, especially if Shenault misses any more time than he has.
Yep. And
he probably will miss the Arizona game. I would prepare for it mentally and emotionally for CU.
Exactly. Exactly.
And is that our segue?
I think I have one more thing I want to say.
Okay, fine. We haven't got invited Shaq yet, so we should probably do that.
And Steven Montez was kept completely clean that entire game.
Oh, yes.
Best performance by the offensive line in a long, long time. That was beautiful. Running backs were getting consistent yards. Quarterback was never touched. That's what you want to see.
Mm-hmm. And everyone stayed healthy and good and productive, and I'm happy about that. And it was a brutal game, and we lost a lot of defensive players. Like, we're probably going to see Chris Miller and Mustafa Johnson out again this week.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, Mikael Onu should be fine.
Mikael Onu came back, and Delrick Abrams came back in the game, which is big.
Yeah, they should both be good. Obviously, I mean, they're still questionable, but they should be fine. But, yeah, the offensive line has been fantastic. I'm ready to put up Will Sherman as the next great CU offensive lineman. I know you are.
honestly, it's getting to the point where I feel like we have to talk about him leaving for the NFL after his – I think this is his third year. I think this is his redshirt sophomore year.
I don't think we're ready.
No. He was a true freshman last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think we'll enjoy him the next 2 years.
Next 2 years, I don't know. I think this season and next season for sure. Because he is a man.
That's what I meant.
He is a man. And well, the other Arlington Hambright is just so solid every single snap.
Mm-hmm. He's been amazing at left tackle.
We said this 2 weeks ago. How many times have we even said anything about him? Which, like, you know, we haven't ever said, how did he miss a block? We have never said, why was Steven Montez just racked that play? It was, like, always, always on. He's never the reason a play fails, which is such a huge thing to have as an offensive lineman.
Yeah. So we just saw them do that against a really stout defense. How do you see this as like against like a porous? You called it paper mache defense,
which I got in a little bit of hot water for, because they held a Texas Tech team that is stuck in an offensive morass. They held that team to 14 points, and they held a UCLA team who, outside of a 67-point explosion in Pullman, has been nothing short of disgusting on offense.
That was a weird game for UCLA that I won't – I'm not even going to talk about UCLA with that game because that was such an aberration. UCLA is a terrible, terrible, terrible team.
Honestly, I just think – I just think that – that says more about Washington State's defense than it does UCLA's offense.
Okay.
Washington State had 5 turnovers. So anyways, Arizona State's defense, Arizona's defense, here's a segue, has been bad for 2 weeks, good for 2 weeks, but good against bad offenses, which doesn't mean much when you're going against CU.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, also holding those teams down to 17 or 14 points isn't really saying much.
Right.
Not that you can really speak on that for allowing 31 to CSU, but nonetheless.
Well, I would say that we're not – I would say that CU fans aren't advocating for CU's defense to be ranked higher than it is necessarily. I think they're clutch. I don't think they're good.
CU fans will probably be like, oh no, we're good. We're 10th best defense in the conference. We're fine.
So close. I think this is a good time to transition fully into the Arizona game, which is another huge game for CU's bowl eligibility hopes.
They absolutely need to win this.
They absolutely need to win this. And we have some thoughts on this. We have some nice insight, but more than us, we have someone who knows much more than either of us ever could about football joining us, who will tell us a lot more about the Arizona Wildcats. And welcome back to At the Buzzer. This is Jack Barsh still, and Sam still over there. And we are joined by a very special guest today. We have former Arizona defensive back, former NFL defensive back, Shaq Richardson on the line. How you doing, Shaq?
How you guys doing? Thank you for having me on. Happy to be on with you guys.
Yeah, well, glad you can make the time, man. So he obviously knows a lot about Arizona football and football in general. So we figured that since we don't, it'd be good to have him on. So I guess first off, I don't know how much you followed Arizona so far this year, but have you watched any games so far of Arizona or CU?
Yeah, I've actually watched all of Arizona's games. Of course, I play for them, so. And I know a few people on the coaching staff and on the team. So, of course, I'll follow along, you know. seen all these wins pile up. But I heard about Colorado's game last week or the week before last with Arizona State as well.
Are you confident in Arizona? Or are you confident that the Wildcats will win?
Well, that's a very direct question. But, yes, I will be confident in the Arizona Wildcats winning. They have to do a lot of things right, of course, you know, play the right kind of football and do their fundamentals the right way, of course, to beat a talented team like Colorado, which has been pretty good this year, actually.
Yeah, I think the one thing that everyone in this call is going to agree on is that beating Arizona State feels good. And beating Arizona State and Tempe feels good. So, I mean, CU was really good on point that game in the passing game. And I guess we have yet to see if that can continue throughout the year. But I know Arizona has a lot of talented defensive backs back there.
Yeah, you know, I think Arizona has a mindset when you play a team that's, you know, coming off a win, you appreciate that, you know, that confidence that the other team has. So you prepare for it as such. So Arizona, I'm pretty sure, knows that, you know, Colorado's coming off a big win. They have good receivers, good quarterback, good offense, a good team all together. Mm-hmm. So if Arizona prepares, you know, correctly and does what they need to do as far as the defense, as far as offense, on offense, what do you think? I know we playing both sides of the sword. We got Tate, we got Gunnell. You guys probably don't know what's going on defense over there, do you?
No, I actually just read a story today about how the scout team quarterback at CU had to he had to try to be a pocket passer and a complete burner back there, which is hard to do, especially if you're on a scout team and with 1 week's notice. So the contrasting styles between Khalil Tate and Grant Gunnell, I think, are hard to prepare for.
Yeah, very contrasting. I think I wouldn't say they're complete opposites, but they're both talented in their own way. So I'm not sure. I think Tate is healthy. I'm not sure who's going to be starting this week. But I know our head coach is going to get things ready for you guys. Colorado's a good team, but it's going to be a big game for both of us.
Oh yeah.
How would you like personally, if you could like design your defense, how would you stop Tate?
How to stop Tate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause Tate can only stop himself. That was a little joke, but I don't know. You have to commit to the run and play man-to-man defense, honestly, if you want to stop a running quarterback, because you need everyone accounted for in a run fit. But, you can try to stop Tate, but then you'll be – you know, there's pros and cons to every coverage that you try to do to stop a certain player. You just have to ask one part of the defense to step up more so than the other side. Like, let's say if you commit to the run and stop Tate, you may have – receivers on the outside that are now in one-on-one coverage that you know, might be a favorable matchup for us. I really don't know what's going to happen with the offense. I think both players are healthy, so it'd be a good surprise when we see who comes out the first series.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I always was impressed with Tate is it's not that he just runs for the first down. It's that he also is really good at scrambling and keeping the play alive, and he has that rocket arm. So it's hard because you can account for him in the run game, but even when he runs to extend the passing play, that's when it gets tough because then you got to cover those receivers for, you know, 5 seconds, 8 seconds, and then by that point, someone's going to be open.
Yeah, he's a tough weapon to prepare. Even if you prepare, it's the play after the play that scrambling quarterbacks win at, like Aaron Rodgers and other quarterbacks like that. You know, it might be a design play, but then there's an undesigned play after a rollout or after an athletic quarterback gets out of the pocket and you play scramble ball. But I feel like as far as a DB's perspective, if that happens, you know, you just got to make sure you have good eyes and focus on your receiver when that happens. But, you know, I don't want to give any secrets away from Arizona, because if your eyes is on the receiver, then Tate's going to run for 75 yards for a touchdown.
And we've seen him do that in Boulder.
Your receivers.
we've seen him run 75 yards in Boulder. We still have nightmares over 2017.
So, yeah, we saw Khalil Tate run for 327 yards against CU 2017, and then he threw for 5 touchdowns against CU last year. So we're hoping that Grant Bell – plays.
See, that would be very intimidating, you know, to see Tate run on the field if I was Colorado's team. So is it the same coaching staff as last year?
No. They fired Mike McIntyre, and then they brought in Mel Tucker, who was the defensive coordinator at Georgia last year.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure he played this game, you know, either over and over or reminded the team of what happened last time. So
oh yeah,
I'm pretty sure Colorado will be prepared to try to make sure that doesn't happen again. But like I said, if you spend a lot of time preparing for Tate, you just never know. You know what Coach Sumlin has up his sleeve. So
right,
you know, you try to prepare for as much as you can. But I'm confident that Arizona will be prepared as well.
Okay, I've been guessing that this will be a high scoring game. I'm pretty sure most people would like think that it'll be high scoring. But moving on to the CU side, I want to ask you about, like, how you would defend CU's receivers because they're so deep and versatile. Like, we have, like, Laviska Shenault, who probably won't play, but he's just an absurd athlete. And then there's KD Nixon, who's, like, 5'6", maybe, fast and strong, that he can be anywhere. And then Tony Brown is just, like, a big technical receiver who just finds a way to get open. How would you guard each of those? Like, I don't know.
Well, each of those, you know, you don't really each of those when you play against a team. But, I would like to think of it. If you execute your defense in the right way, it doesn't matter who you line up against.
Right.
So Arizona just has to focus on their preparation this week, knowing their coverages, knowing their leverages, knowing what the defense is. If they stay true to their game, they'll just – repeat what's been going on the past few weeks, which is turnovers, interceptions, and, you know, big plays. Also, I feel like missing your best receiver might hurt you guys this week because, like you said, we have some talented DBs and some talented players on defense all together. So, like, to win a game like this, you may need your star players to come out and have a big game. You know, you might need your receiver to go for 200 or 180 and two touchdowns, two or three touchdowns to beat a team that is resilient like Arizona is and will fight to the end and take the ball back and score touchdowns, you know, through the air, through the ground. We have a talented team as well. So we might have all our players on deck. So that might be what it takes to beat Arizona team this year, at least.
Yeah. One of the commonalities, I think, in between the CU defense and the Arizona defense is the emphasis on turnovers. And I guess playing for the strip or the pick rather than just keeping everything in front of you. I think Mel Tucker and Marcel Yates are similar in that mindset of just trying to make a play rather than preventing a play. I guess as a player, as a defensive back, what does that mindset change in the way that you play? Like going for the pick rather than trying to prevent them from doing something?
Well, for me, honestly, I have a clear answer. I would say seeing it like being done or seeing yourself do it, you know? You know how you visualize plays before they happen?
Yep.
Like if you actually see yourself making a great play to where you're running down the field on a fade route and you turn and look and catch the ball. Like if you can see yourself doing it and you can see that it's possible to do, then you'll have the confidence to do it or try to do it when the moment arises. Honestly, one of the best things that I've learned from my coach is a saying that said, you don't know what you don't know. Right? So you don't know, you know, what you don't know. I guess that means something like you don't know how to do something because you don't even know what to do. You know, you don't even know to do something in the first place. Sorry, I'm rambling, but you don't know what you don't know. So I feel like seeing the play and actually seeing other people do it or seeing yourself do it, I think that gives you the confidence to try it and do it. So you just got to believe in yourself and see it as far as the DB is concerned. It's a whole nother story actually doing it in real life, but it's not easy. Yeah. But see, how many interceptions do you guys defense have?
CU's in, I believe, the top five in takeaways this year with 10 through four games. And five of that comes from one safety named Mikhail Onu, who's a grad transfer out of SMU. It's a mixture of being in the right place at the right time and also just having fantastic ball skills. So he's been breaking hard on balls. He's been opportunistic when a ball hits the ground. He jumps on it quick. And that's really been the saving grace because CU's defense, in terms of like yards per play or yards per drive, they're just letting everyone run down the field, but they seem to make the right play at the right time just enough to win.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is going to be a very exciting game then.
Yeah. There's going to be some points scored. There's going to be some points scored.
Right. And some big plays on defense for sure.
Can we ask you?
I was going to say I was going to say Arizona defense is, you know, predicated on defensive turnovers as well. So there's going to be a lot of big plays in this game, whoever makes the most or the last one.
Yep, I think it's going to be a game based on big plays. Yeah, I think it's exactly what you said, where it's you need your top talent to win this game. I think you need your stars to make star plays, and that's who's going to win this game, is whoever star makes the most star plays.
You guys have
– And early –
Chuck, go ahead.
Right. And it's early in the season. Anybody could be a star. You know, I know they have, like, preseason, you know, rankings and things like that as far as players. This is early in the season, so anybody could become a star on a stage like this. So don't ignore, you know, some sort of the fundamental players that get in there and do their job well. Those players make big plays at the end of games as well.
Right. So obviously you have some familiarity with Paul Richardson, who played at CU, started at CU before getting drafted to the NFL. And he's a very different receiver than CU's current wideout, Laviska Shenault. Paul Richardson's a speedster, technical on his routes, and really one with technique and speed, whereas Laviska is just a linebacker who happens to play wide receiver at times. And he bowls over people, he makes men miss. I guess standing on the other side of that, you said you don't change your approach that much if you trust your defense. When you're facing two different players like that, is there something you look for? Like if it's someone who's fast, you just shade off a little bit and try to run with them. Or if it's someone who's physical, you try to jam at the line. Do you change your process at all right there, or you just trust your technique?
Well, trusting in a technique also means changing up your technique. So you should be comfortable doing as many techniques as the receiver is doing, honestly. So if he has five releases, I should have five press techniques, you know, that I can switch it up just as much as the other receiver. Because the way to minimize different type of receivers is they have to play within their offense. So if you study their offense, if they're lined up here, they have to run a certain route. You know, some receivers are more savvy than other ones, but if you study their offense, no matter who's standing in that position, they run one of two or three routes.
Right.
So no matter who it is, how more athletic or not they are, the better receivers actually can make all routes look the same and break it off. But if you trust your film study and like film study and things like that, those are the type of things that helps even out the playing field for more athletic or super fast receivers, you know, big strong guys. If you're confident in your defense and the offense that you've studied over the past weeks, then that will help you. It's still hard to be in that position and make the play with you know, great athletes, but that puts you one step ahead of the curve.
That's fascinating, actually. So really, in film study, you're trying to negate routes. You're trying to make sure routes don't work rather than changing it up based on the receiver. You're changing it up based on what you know the offense does. That's really interesting.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So if you see the offense runs this route from this line, or this alignment, maybe third down and five, maybe first and 10, and maybe, you know, different type of coincidences, more so patterns in the offensive play caller. So if you see different things like that, no matter who's lined up there, this formation, this receiver has to run this route. So, and I know in my defense, let's say I would have outside leverage. So even if he runs an end breaking route, my responsibility would be outside.
Right.
So you pay attention to things like that, and that's how you end up making hard plays look very easy, because you just stick to your fundamentals, and you really know, you know, what you're supposed to do as a defense. 11-on-11 football.
Right. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I love watching film. I love, you know, studying offenses and seeing tendencies and things like that. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you know, some teams are easier to read than others, of course. Some coaches are better than other coaches. So it's a challenge every week to find new things and come out and compete against great players, you know, that might, you know, be very, very talented, but you can still compete on as high a level as them by preparing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I guess it's what you're saying is, like, you know, 90% of the work is done before you even step on the field on Sunday or Saturday.
Yeah, it's the neck up. And, it's the neck up. They say it's the neck up.
Yeah.
Is the best players.
So I guess before we get too far into it, I just want to make sure we nailed on the predictions for the game. You're thinking Arizona's going to win here just because they have Khalil Tate, they have offensive firepower, they have defensive playmakers that are starting to step up and get turnovers. What does CU have to do to win this game?
Well, I'm not sure what CU would have to do. For starters, they would have to take care of the football and win a turnover margin, because that's a big deal in any football game. Control the football, stop the run. You know, football is real fundamental, guys. So you stop the run, you take away the football, and you don't give it away. I think those three things will help any team win as far as fundamentals are concerned. But executing those fundamentals and, you know, having your players ready to compete at the highest level, I think that will determine who will win this game. I have confidence in Arizona being prepared, because I, like I said, I'm familiar with the program.
Yeah.
So I think they're being taught the right things. And I had a couple friends play for Colorado as well, but I don't know much about this coaching staff. But I know that Colorado is a talented team. All right. But their record shows that they're talented, you know, enough to be in first place right now.
That's right, yeah.
We'll just have to see who comes out victorious.
Yeah, for one brief week at least, CU was first place in the Pac-12 South.
Right. For first in the Pac-12 total with Oregon and Arizona at 1-0.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, only three teams, yeah.
Nice, okay.
Cannibalizing is happening already.
Yeah, it's really any week in the Pac-12, anyone can beat anybody. Oh. It is
right.
Talented
league. This game might not seem as big a game as some of the other games, but it's going to be very important when the season, you know, boils down to the trajectory
yeah.
of the Pac-12 South, especially.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're all right. Arizona's right there. Arizona State's right there. Colorado's right there. And USC yeah. and Utah, obviously. It's really anyone's division right now.
Except for
UCLA. Poor UCLA.
You know, we had to handle UCLA last week. I know you guys seen that. No,
that's right, yeah. That field goal kicker was a hero, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He saved our team.
Yeah. How about that?
But that was a great call by the coach calling that timeout. But, you know, we're on the next week. UCLA is behind us. We're looking forward to Colorado.
All right. Yeah. Shaq, what's your final prediction?
Score prediction.
Score prediction? I would have to say off the top of my head, you know, I'm not a professional. This would be my first time guessing a score.
Oh, you're
I would
fine.
Have to say 24 to 14. Arizona.
Okay.
That's low.
Well, I don't know. Oh, yeah. I think Arizona's held the last two opponents they had to, what was it, 17 and 14?
Oh, points? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to be going high numbers this game, guys. Wow. Arizona defense doesn't play that.
All right.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, I mean, you know, yeah. if it ends up being that LaVisca yeah. Chenault's hurt and Grant Gunnell starting, you know, there's some uncertainty there on both sides. And I think the defense would have the edge no matter who's on the field. So I could see that happening.
Yeah, I can too now that I think about it.
There's questions. Go ahead.
Well, just to throw out the professional numbers, Colorado's right now, I think, a 3-point favorite out in Las Vegas, which basically just means
Colorado is.
Yeah, it just means it's home field advantage. I think they're putting both these teams pretty mm-hmm. equal. And then the total number of points they're projecting is about 60. It's a shade under 60 right now.
I don't bet on these games, but
yeah.
I'll
oh yeah.
Say, I'll, Yeah, I
but
yet,
you're
under.
In the ballpark there. You're right there with the odds makers. You're not too far off.
Oh, 60 points? That's too many points. I don't think it's gonna be 60 points.
You're a defender, on, so this is
come
bias.
On, guys.
That's
gosh,
true.
You think this is gonna be a 60-point game on both sides? 30, 35? You think it's gonna be something like that?
I think if Tate shows up, Arizona's offense they're going to pretty much score at will as long as they don't put the ball on the ground. It all depends on, I think, if Steven Montez, CU's quarterback, has a good game, they can maybe keep up with him. But, boy, that's
how
tough
does he do that? How does he have a good game against Arizona?
I mean,
I don't see it.
Yeah, that's a fair point. He's been inconsistent this year, regardless of who the competition is. So if he struggles against Air Force – who knows what he's going to do against Arizona.
We'll see, guys. We'll see. Yeah. I'm excited to watch the game, though.
Yeah, me too. At 2:30 kickoff, which is perfect, you know, in the fall, in October. Should be really nice weather. And I love – I mean, it's just fun to play in Folsom.
I played there. Yeah, I've guarded Paul Richardson there. You know, Paul Richardson is a very talented receiver. Let me just put that out there on the dashboard.
Who had the upper hand? Who had the upper hand in that matchup?
Oh, well, I actually only guarded him a couple times that game, and we both did well against each other. But he did, you know, go for some yards and go for some touchdowns.
If I remember correctly, I think Arizona still came out with the win. So.
Yeah. But, you know, him being my cousin and everything, we're pretty competitive, and we keep it real personal.
Uh-huh. Well, Shaq, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you, and we've learned a lot.
Thank you guys for having me. You know, I'm excited to, you know, jump into this business with you guys and believe. So having me on is a pleasure to me.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming to speak with us.
Of course.
Once again, that was Shaq Richardson, former Arizona defensive back and NFL defensive back, joining us on the podcast. We thank you so much to him for coming on and talk to us and giving us some knowledge, making us learn. He has a great podcast over with Believe, spelled B-L-E-A-V, about Arizona football. That's the Believe in Arizona Football podcast with Eddie Law and obviously Shaq Richardson. And yeah, that was more insightful than we normally get on this podcast.
yeah, Shaq was a great guest. We need to have more people on like that who can offer us insight, because obviously we speak our own weird language of college football nerdery, but we obviously lack the insight of literally being in the NFL and knowing the game as well as Shaq does.
Exactly. That is a direct knowledge source that neither of us can provide. The ultimate goal, of course, is to have Eli Stalzer as a guest host. We need to get Eli Stalzer on this podcast, Sam.
And Evan Batty was literally we started the podcast because we wanted Evan Batty on it.
Well, make it happen.
Okay, fine. I'll try my hardest. Okay.
All right. Well, just to wrap up about the Arizona game, Shaq's were predicting a low-scoring matchup, 24-14. I don't know if I'm ready to go that far. I think someone's going to hit the 30s.
Yeah.
Someone's going to hit the 30s.
I think that you were spot on just saying, like, it really does depend on Montez. If he's going to be sharp, CU's going to hit 30. If he's off again like he was against Air Force, I don't think CU will do super well.
Yeah, I mean, we need, especially if LaVisca is sidelined for this game, CU needs star power from somewhere. And when Montez is a star, it's hard to stop CU. Arizona State had a really good defense for 3 weeks of the year and then had a really bad defense because Montez was clean and could not miss a pass. I don't know if he'll need to be that accurate against Arizona. I think it's a little bit easier to run on Arizona, so we won't need to rely on him as much. But, man, if he's on, it makes the game a whole lot easier to predict a win for.
Yeah, I think Khalil Tate, too. Like, I'm having trouble assuming that he's going to be the Khalil Tate of old. I think that if he's dealing with an injury and he also hasn't been as sharp as he used to be, I think that's –
I don't know if he's not as sharp. I just feel like the weapons around, J.J. Taylor is obviously great, but he's also hurt. And our wide receiver, they've had to deal with massive turnover for a little bit. And they're dropping balls. The Arizona-UCLA game last week was brutal because Khalil Tate was willing them to try to put the game away. And these receivers were just putting the ball on the ground, which would help, again, against CU. So, I don't know. I'm thinking that Alex Fontenot and Jaron Mangum have a really good game this game.
Is that just like a feeling?
Yeah, Arizona's not as big up front as Arizona State. Arizona State causes a lot more havoc. Marcel Yates, like we talked about, is a turnover-based coach, similar to Tyson Summers. They're trying to make the defense create turnovers, which means that if you don't turn the ball over, which – knock on wood, which I just did, Jaron Mangum and Alex Fontenot, I believe neither of them have fumbled, right?
I don't think so.
If we can just gain 4 consistent yards with those two every play, you know, it's a win right there going away.
Yeah, that would be to just strangle the clock too and keep the Wildcats off the field.
So I'm going to put – you know what? I kind of like his numbers. I think – they're a little bit too low. I'm going to go with 30-21 Colorado, actually.
Yeah, I was thinking like 31-20-ish. Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. We've had the same score agreement also every game so far, which has been strange.
And the thing is, I always make sure I put mine in first, so you look like the follower.
Well, yeah. You said a 2-score or a 10-point winner over Arizona State, and I foolishly agreed.
Hey, we were close.
Yeah, we were close. Okay. Yeah, we're good.
I think we're good. Saturday, 2:30 p.m. CU plays Arizona in the continuing quest for Mel Tucker's bowl eligibility.
And you are going to record a podcast with John, the editor, and his brother in Arizona.
Way to make it live, so I'm forced to say yes. yes, John, if you're listening to this, I will absolutely do that.
And then I can also do that because my plans after the game fell through. So.
Okay. Yeah. Way to do a nice little humble brag that you had plans after the game.
I don't now.
Okay. Well, you had to have them in the first place to lose them, Sam. I see what you're doing.
Okay, fine. I'm also working the scrimmage, covering that, so I'm going to be working.
Oh, yes, we get to see basketball again in Boulder, in the Keg. Basketball scrimmage at 11 a.m. Everyone should go to that.
I'm more excited for the scrimmage than I am the football game, but that's
how exciting.
I love this basketball team so much. Anyway, yes, this might turn into a basketball-only podcast soon. So.
Very soon. At the Buzzer, we'll get its namesake back. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And thank you once again to Shaq Richardson of the Believe in Arizona Football podcast for joining us. See ya.